Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about how you can be the truck and not the squirrel. Sound a little bit different? Could be. We're going to find out. My guest today is Andrew Sherman. He is in the Washington, D.C. area, and he's going to share with us some of the essential rules for being able to navigate through this that we call the road of life. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Thank you. I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You've got quite an interesting background. Not only have you been...
Well, interesting, you know, is always a word people use when they're not sure what to say, but thank you very much.
Oh, I know what I'm going to say.
I don't like talking about myself unless asked, but fire away.
I will definitely do that. You have done a lot of public speaking and have interacted with literally thousands of businesses through many, many years of various involvements. But you've also been an adjunct professor at the University of Maryland Smith School of Business for over 20 years, and you have been called a thought leader by various individuals that have written about you in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Washington Post, and various other publications. You've been on all kinds of televisions and radio shows, and you've written a number of books. And this, I believe, is your latest one. And in 2002, you were considered to have one of the top 10 minds in the nation. How did you qualify for that one?
This is all true.
It's all true.
It was a great honor, and I hope my mind's just gotten sharper, not weaker since then.
Well, I hope so, too.
You know, the thing that I guess even I find still fascinating, even though it involves myself, is that after writing 17 books on business growth and development, I felt compelled to write a book on personal growth and development, and a lot of the things in Road Rules are observations that I've accumulated over the years and working with successful companies and successful people, but I also realized that there's a lot of parallels between how a company grows and develops and how a person grows and develops. I mean, I have no formal training in psychology or psychiatry or coaching or self-improvement, but I do see very, very strong parallels between, you know, business evolution and our personal evolution. And so I tried to bring those out as best I could in the book, and it is getting a marvelous response, and I'm just excited to be here on the show talking about it.
Well, I'm pleased, too. I liked a particular statement that you made about, and I'm going to quote verbatim, "We must focus on teaching the next generation and ourselves how to learn, not what to learn, because the what is likely to become stale or unusable within a short period of time, but the how provides a set of skills for lifelong use." Now, as a professor, I don't know if you've ever owned a business of your own.
I have a couple of them.
All right. So here you are. You've got experience in your background. You are interacting with all kinds of people at all various levels of business. And I cannot speak for you, but I can speak for myself. One of the biggest deficits that we have is that we have a maturing generation that has so much knowledge that the younger generation is missing out on. And many of the young people today are finding that they get lost. They really do not have that support. And I really like your attitude about let's pass what we know along, not the junk, but the good stuff that's going to be able to create a good foundation. And this is on many levels in life, but especially when it comes to business, because without an economic base, a nation, a people are going to not make it. They're going to be in the dark ages.
Well, a couple things, Don. If you don't mind spending a few minutes on this, you've obviously hit a central nerve in my system on this point. I mean, of all the pages of the book, of all the words, you've pulled one out that means a lot to me, because I have considered myself a lifelong educator and a lifelong student. And it also ties into road rule number 2 about sharing the road. I'm sure you read the part where I talk about everyone's obligation to be a tour guide on the road of life for those roads that you've traveled to those who are trying to travel those roads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this ties back to the president's inaugural message about giving back. It ties into all of the social networking technology that we have available to us. You know, my son's 19, and he has, I think, over 1,000 friends on Facebook. And I said, Matt, when I was 19, if I had the landline phone numbers of 10 friends, I was considered a pretty well-connected guy. I said, you're in touch electronically through a device that's the size of a credit card with over 1,000 people every day.
Mm-hmm.
That if you use that properly, and not just to talk about some great party, but to really use it to networking and help each other and share knowledge, imagine the world you'll be living in 5 and 10 years from now. Imagine the resources you'll have available to you. And so part of our, we not only have this moral and societal obligation to share knowledge and give it back, but we have vehicles for doing so that you and I, you know, I'm not going to ask you on the air your age, but you and I could have never imagined at 19 years old.
That's
not
true.
Even imagine. If someone had
That's
told
true.
Us about BlackBerries and the Internet and Facebook, we'd look at them like they were high on drugs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Although I will have to say that conception was not far-reaching for me when I was looking at it. The depth, you know, when I look back at that time frame, the depth of how it has evolved and how rapidly it has evolved.
That's correct. That fascinates me as well. I mean, but
that's the big thing.
The key point I think you and I both agree on is that there's no excuse anymore for not sharing and not giving back, because no matter what your preferred method is, writing, speaking, you know, doing a radio show like you do to help others, I mean, there are so many vehicles available to you today that weren't available, and they continue to evolve, to your point, at a much more rapid pace than we could have ever imagined.
I agree. Now, I'm going to be bouncing around with the material in your
okay,
book.
Okay, I'm ready to bounce with you.
Okay, great. I want to go right to the 8-cylinder engine for life's journey, and I want to share with my audience what these 8 points are. And again, your analogies that you have in here, I think, are just delightful. It's lifelong teaching and learning, clarity of purpose and perseverance, empathy and compassion, reverence for life, following your life's path, following your intuition, trusting it, humility and modesty, forgiveness and cooperation. Now, those are the 8 cylinders of what you call your engine. What brought you to those particular 8 points?
It was hard. I wish I could have been describing a 16-cylinder car, because I've had plenty more to share. I was trying to narrow down, you know, the 8 cylinders or the 8 characteristics that have driven my own engine on the road of life. These are all obviously metaphors, but, you know, we have to identify with certain things, certain principles, certain values, much in the way businesses do. I mean, all the successful companies I've ever interacted with, they have a very strong set of purpose and values. Every employee knows what they're supposed to be doing and why they're supposed to be doing it and how they're contributing to the profitability of the enterprise. Same thing with us as people. You know, we need to look at ourselves as CEO of Donna Sebo Inc. and say, okay, what are the 8 sources of energy? What are my 8 tenets of my core values that are going to drive me every day? And they may be different for other people. Those are my 8. I urge our listeners to sit down and write down what your 8-cylinder engine is going to be. I urge you to drive a V8, not a V6 or a V4, because when it comes to metaphors on the highway of life, there is no such thing as gas inefficiency. It's just a matter of finding the biggest engine you can find to keep you going. But that's how I arrive at those. Those are values that I try and live every day. Not perfectly. I won't tell you I'm perfect, but I try.
Well, I think that's the best that any of us can do, because life is never a straight line. It's always going to have its bumps, its grinds, its days.
It's going to have its speed bumps, its potholes. It's going to have
absolutely.
Its doors, its road unexpected construction signs. I agree. That's all part of it.
You say, often we're blinded by the light of opportunity or by the darkness of frustration. And I think that anyone listening to this show, in fact, some people may be experiencing that right now, that that is a very good description that you gave. And one of the points that you had shortly after you made that statement was teaching others means to help make the invisible visible. And I think that that's where brainstorming comes in, or interaction with others, where you do try to share what you know, and then maybe someone pops up and says, gee, have you thought of this? You go, well, no, I hadn't. Tell me more about what you're thinking. Because it's really important to realize that none of us are going to have it all. And that's one of the things that you bring out to be able
well,
to...
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'll share with you a pretty deeply personal story. You know, I've had the pleasure of representing some of the finest companies on this planet. And sometimes I'll be flying to the meetings, and I'll be on the airplane, and, you know, it'll be 6 o'clock in the morning for a 9 o'clock, you know, meeting. And I think, my gosh, this company is a global company. They're doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenues, if not billions in revenues. What could they possibly need from me? I mean, I'm a street kid from West Philadelphia. What am I going to help them with? How can I possibly see things that they haven't thought of? And then you get there and you realize you're sitting in a room with a bunch of very ordinary people who are working at an extraordinary company, and they're looking to you for ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you realize that, you know, you may sometimes have the power to see things that others can't see, and you should never assume that just because you can see them, others can see them. That's not necessarily the case. But it
so
took
true.
Me a while to learn that, and it took me a while to learn it even in the most, you know, intimidating of circumstances when, you know, you're there with a very, very large client and you've got to come up with something interesting and creative that they've not thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're there to reinforce an idea that they may have thought of, and then you're going to, you know, help them feel better about it and teach them how to execute on it.
Mm-hmm. It's always that opportunity. And you never know when, even if you're the presenter, you give the concepts that there may be a gift in return that you're going to receive from someone that says, I really like this, but this is what I also see. How do you feel about that?
Exactly. One of the most misleading mm-hmm. words in the English language probably is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Because what may be obvious to me may not be obvious to you, and vice versa. And yet we think because something's obvious to us, then surely it must be to everyone else. And you know, that's sort of the beauty of life, is that it's not obvious. But that's all the more reason for this level of communication that we were talking about earlier. You know, if you think that the knowledge you have is of no use to anybody, then you're not going to be compelled to share it.
Well,
but until you begin realizing mm-hmm. that things you do know may not be known by so many other people, and that it's not obvious how certain things get done or insights that you have, you're more compelled to share them because you can really help somebody.
Well, we all have our filters, no matter who we are. We have paradigms that we work within, and the only way we ever grow is when we can expand those paradigms. And that's part of what your book, in presenting 12 Essential Rules for Navigating the Road of Life, you're presenting your paradigms removed of certain filters that you had to learn how to let go of.
That's right. And I try and instead of just sort of dumping them on the reader, I try and tie in, you know, life stories and movies and films and song lyrics and things that have affected me over time that, you know, I thought anybody sort of in that 30 to 60 generation is probably going to have seen the same movies and heard the same songs and read the same books. And, you know, and even with that, I get excited when some of the younger people and the teenagers enjoy the book, because I'm always worried that they're not going to know half the people I'm talking about in the book.
Yes, I think, though, that it's important when you're sharing your own story that it is known that it is your story, because that's what makes the difference. What I have found, and I've been doing radio broadcasting for so many years, what I have found is what makes a story compelling is not when you copy somebody else, but when you tell your story. Because when people are listening to you, They want to know what you've been through. They want to know how you have perceived things. Because maybe they haven't, if they're a young person, they haven't even had enough time to go through some of the scenarios. And the generation of experience that they have may be 180 degrees different, but the in demonstration, but the essence is still the same.
Right, but part of what I tried to accomplish in the book, and I agree with what you said completely, is to say, you know, this particular book or this song title, song lyric, or this thing affected me, and this is how it affected me, and this is what I learned from it. Maybe you can learn the same. So here it is. Take a look.
I agree.
I think many of us were influenced by all these things on the road of life, all these road signs, all these people that we meet, but then we don't take time to chronicle them and share them with others because we think that those are uniquely us, and they're not. I mean, there's so many things that may have happened to you along the way that would be useful to hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and I'm sure you've shared them on the air with those people.
Oh, many, many, many of them. I like how you call yourself a blue-collar scholar, and you've got a quote in here by Khalil Gibran. You obviously are a reader, which I think is so important for people to be, because without reading, you're not going to become aware of a lot of variables, just like reading your book, Road Rules, seeing your perspective. Khalil Gibran, you quoted, "In seeking knowledge and enlightenment, the first step is silence, the second, listening, the third, remembering, the fourth, practicing, and the fifth, teaching others." And the true master teacher is not one with the most students, but the one who has created the most masters. Those are very, very powerful words. And I think that when you look at anyone throughout history that has stood the test of time as a real master, as someone that really did make a demonstration that has value, substance, quality, excellence, integrity, all of these wonderful things that we want to have in our heroes and heroines, they do pass that along so that it can be an example for other people. But like you just said a moment ago, being able to teach it so that there are those that are going to become masters in whatever they do. And it's nice to think that part of what you're doing here is giving a substance that perhaps somebody will be able to grow from so that they can achieve their own masterful positioning.
Right, and to your point, you know, I could assume that all my readers have already read that passage from Gibran, but that would be a false assumption, you know, or they may have read it, but they then go back to that book that's sitting on their shelf. I mean, you know, a lot of this knowledge that influences us along the way, it's just a matter of going back. You know, I've been influenced by several books that come out in some of the road rules. You know, when bad things happen to good people by Rabbi Kushner affected me, and that's the my tribute to that book is when accidents happen to good drivers. I was very affected by the Celestine Prophecy when I read it, and my tribute to that book is on pay careful attention to the road signs of life. I mean, so, you know, part of what I'm doing in the book is sharing some things that have been a strong influence to me and then, you know, sharing them with you in my own words and my own interpretation of them, but they're clearly based on other things I've read along the way.
You make a statement, avoiding death is an insufficient game plan for living life. And that is a very powerful statement because death doesn't just mean it's the end of your term in this experience of life. It means an attitude, I think. When people will suddenly retire from life fearful of risk. Here we are in a national situation, actually it's affecting the entire globe, where it's a pretty mucky mess because of decisions made by people that were not competent. And we're bombarded with this every day, and it would be so easy for people to retreat back. And I say, no, bring out what we can, and let's, if we don't like what's in place, move it out. Move in what will work. But as individuals, we can make a difference. What's your positioning on that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that while I was focusing a little bit, like you just did, on retirees, unfortunately, I'm seeing sort of people checking out even earlier, you know, that
That's true.
Avoiding death is not life. And in the context of driving, it's as if you just say, I'm so afraid of having an accident, I'm never going to get behind the wheel. And, you know, or never going to get behind the wheel on a rainy, snowy day. That's not living life. I mean, that's going to have you stuck in the house. It's going to have you living a very incomplete life.
And you have a chapter where you say, don't fear the back roads. And I really liked it. I like that title because there's a lot of back roads sometimes that we do have to take. We might even get lost in the process and find we go through a lot of different back roads. But Robert Frost said it very well. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. What's a personal story you can relate to that quote?
Well, you know, there are any number of them. I mean, I guess one personal story from my youth, when my parents split up, I was 16, and my mom moved out to California with my sisters. I'm so sorry. I'm just fighting through a cold, and I can't believe I'm having a coughing attack right in the middle of our show. But you know what?
That's
the human part of appearing. As my family moved west, I decided to stay on the East Coast, taking that road over the West Coast road. And even though that was much more difficult because my dad at the time was out of work and I didn't know what I was going to do or where I was going to live, those additional challenges helped me out immensely.
And they've helped you on so many different levels of your life because it demonstrated certain requirements that you had to get through the changes that were implemented. And then you also talk about being an all-weather driver. And I think that is so true. You must be willing to stand up to the rainy days, the hurricane events, and to look at them and just say, and this too is going to pass.
Yeah, there's a great quote that opens that chapter, and it's one from a movie that I saw. I think it was The Killing Fields, and it talks about those who are willing to drive or those who are willing to walk only on the roads that are flat and when the sun is shining and with a full bottle of water won't ever get anywhere in life. You know, that true success comes to those who are willing to walk on the roads that are windy and thin and narrow and rocky and have all the detours attached to them. And, you know, being an all-weather driver, you know, growing up on the East Coast, you experience all weathers, you know, and you need to learn to drive in all types of weather. And there's a number of people that I've sort of met along the way as business leaders or leaders of companies that doing very well when times are good, but you wouldn't want to be hitched to their wagon if things got rocky like they are today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing we're definitely learning in this rocky economy is, you know, who the true leaders are and who the crooks are.
That's true. And that's why I said, if we don't like what we have, we've got to move on. We've got to make our choices. And that means being decisive. And you make a statement here, in your greatest strengths lie your biggest weaknesses, and in your biggest weaknesses lie your greatest strengths. And I think that's very true. When we become aware of that, what's the best way to combat that? What's the best way to deal with that awareness so that you don't end up with a mental paralysis?
It's a big step. I mean, it's probably one of the hardest things we ask of ourselves or we ask people to do is to try and understand that something you think that's been a strength all along is something that you may need to back down a little bit, and something that you've always been afraid of all your life is something you need to confront and actually may be a source of strength for you once you try it. And there's a lot of folks in this economy going through that right now where, you know, they're so used to the rhythm or pattern of the job they've done that it takes, you know, getting a pink slip to realize that they're going to have to try something new, and that the things that they've not perceived themselves being very good at, they actually can be and will be, but it takes a jolt to the system to get them to focus on that and connect with those other energies. I mean, you hear this in kids all the time. Oh, I'm not good at that. Oh, I'm not good at that. They've not even tried it.
Mm-hmm.
How can their brains have come to a conclusion that they're not good at something when they've never experienced it or tried it at all? And that trait doesn't seem to go away in our adult life.
Well, I know many, many adults who have the same attitude. And they those are the filters that come in. And they adopt the filters. And sometimes I think those filters have been adopted. I've done it at times in my life. Because you just, maybe someone's made a statement to you and assumptions are, they're right, I don't, what do I know? And then you just accept it and you put yourself in your little box of self-identification. And it can be a little box, it can be a big box, but it's still a box.
Well, I'll tell you a related point. You know, I was just reading a study the other day that something like 80% of us, when we're filling out performance reviews for subordinates, don't tell the truth. And it's not that we don't, it's not that we lie, but we don't tell people what their true weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
Feel bad for them, or we like them, or we don't want them not to get a full bonus. So people sometimes go through their whole lives going, you know, I'm really good at customer service. Why? Because every year I get a 10 out of 10 on customer service on my employee evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you ask the boss how they really are, it's more like a 6. So even your strengths may not be true strengths because you're relying on a false data point to support it.
All right. Now let me ask you a direct question. How can one get a good feedback so that they need to be criticized, they can be criticized? What would you say to those employers that are doing this type of thing? And what would you say to those people that might be on the receiving end of said criticism?
Well, two things. If you're an employer who's been guilty of this, you're not helping you or the person by continuing to perpetuate information that you think is there, that you're protecting them with it, but you're never giving them the tools they need to get stronger or better as a person, which is ultimately hurting the company. If you're on the receiving end of it, you know, there's an old saying, the truth hurts, or, you know, that line from the movie where he says, you can't handle the truth, which I think I talk about in the book as well. You've got to be ready for the truth. And what makes this whole problem even more complex is many of us aren't ready for a truthful assessment of who we are or what we're good at. We'd rather get the Christmas bonus.
Mm-hmm. But if someone is interested in the truth, they say, give me
you
the
almost
truth.
Have to sit down off the record and say, now tell me what you really think of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Don, if you're going to like my answer very much, but sometimes it takes a few glasses of wine
mm-hmm.
to get a truly honest answer. And I hate to be advocating alcohol in that fashion or for that reason, but, you know, people say if you really want to know what your boss thinks about you, take him out to dinner and make sure it's a good bottle of wine that accompanies it.
Very good.
And, you know, I hope we're not ending on that note because there's got to be some better advice I can give to people than to that alcohol leads to honesty.
I know we're just about out of time, but I want to use one of your quotes that you have in the book. I really liked it. Albert Einstein. Small is the number of them who see with their own eyes and feel with their own hearts, but it is their strength that will decide whether the human race must relapse into the state of stupor which a deluded multitude appears today to regard as the ideal. Your book, Road Rules, Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel, really moves, I think, with a series of stories, quotes, personal experiences, points of information, to an understanding that if we want to see that excellence of demonstration within ourselves, we're the drivers. We're the ones that must be aware of our choices, be mindful of those choices, and to get the action on the road. What's your website, Andrew?
The website is www.bethetruck.com, and I hope that some of your listeners check it out and check out the book. It's been just an absolute delight being on the show. Your questions are just so insightful. You're bringing a lot to the table, and I hope your listeners appreciate it.
Well, I just appreciate being able to have your guest. I delight in doing what I do. It's a real passion for me.
Well,
and
it's obvious you're good at it.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. I'm so appreciative of your being with me. Road Rules, Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel, It's an image that grabs you, but there's a lot more between the front and the back part of this hardback book. So I would encourage you to get it. This is Donna Sebo. Again, go to BeTheTruck.com. BeTheTruck.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Andrew, thank you again for being my guest. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTab Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers that you can call into toll-free. Anywhere in the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, worldwide, no matter where you are, Timbuktu, China, Africa, the Philippine Islands, it doesn't make any difference. You can call in to 888-815-9756. That's right. We have a worldwide number, 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to be aware of is that I am an information resource. When you call in, I like to have your first name or your initial. Then let me tell you what I perceive. After that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 or worldwide 888-815-9756. Now, I want to bring out some points of information. I am going, for those of you listening in Alaska, I am going to be in Fairbanks, Alaska, March 9th through the 11th, and then I'll be in Anchorage, Alaska, from the 11th of March through the 15th. I will be available for private consultations, so if you'd like to be in touch with me, you can call me at my office, 800-872-8852. March is going to be a busy month. At the end of March, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is going to be happening in Seattle. So for those of you in Western Washington, please put it on your calendars. Ladies, you are going to just have a blast. Now, I'm going to be speaking every day, but there is a special happening this year for me. I've been invited to do something special, so I'm getting all the details put together, and as that comes together, then I will be sharing it with you. Now, this is going to be at the Safeco Field Convention Center. I think now it's called the Quest Field. Anyway, it is the convention center right in downtown, and we will have the hours. You can go to the website, Northwest Women's Show in the Pacific Northwest, northwestwomenshow.com. And you'll have all of the details on that. I also am making a request for assistance at my booth. And if you'd like to have the opportunity to work with me during the show, then what I would like for you to do is give me a call again at my office, 800-872-8852. I'll be speaking each day, and also I'll be available for mini consultations during that time. Then, coming up in April, there is a class that I'm going to be doing on mind vision, and that is going to be on the 25th of April. It'll be from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that will include lunch, and more details will be coming out in my newsletter, and that newsletter will be going out this weekend. So all kinds of things are happening. If you're in Seattle, Tacoma area, all you need to do is to check my newsletter or give me a call again at my office if you'd like to find out more details, if you would like to be able to assist at the events, let me know. All you have to do is give me a buzz at 800-872-8852. I like the way people come up with ideas. So many times, necessity is the mother of invention. This has been said for, I don't know how many generations, and it really is a fact. And sometimes we grab on to a concept or an idea that is so simple, and yet it makes us feel so good because we feel like we're doing something for people, and we're not doing it because we have to do it. We do it because we want to do it. That's the case for a woman by the name of Rochelle Robinson. She's in Lake Station, Indiana. She said, in Indiana, spring when it comes, it just pours, and there's been more than one gray March morning, she said, when it will go from a little drizzle, and then you just find that it's coming down in sheets. And I can relate to that, being in the Pacific Northwest, have had that happen many, many times. Well, on this particular day, Rochelle noticed a woman who was caught in a downpour. She was trying to carry a baby, and she didn't have an umbrella, and she happened to be able to pull up by the woman, and she rolled down her window, and she said, "Here, take my umbrella." And the woman was so grateful, and she said, "The following week, I found myself giving a new umbrella that I had purchased to someone that was at a bus stop. This time, it was a man." And she thought to herself, "Gee, maybe I better get some more umbrellas." And that's when the idea really came to life for her. She said, "Now I buy a handful of umbrellas every time I go to the dollar store. All kinds. Doesn't make any difference. Patterned, plain, in color. Doesn't make any difference." And she said, "I keep a batch of them handy. Whenever I see anyone stuck in a storm, they're getting drenched, I hand them an umbrella, and I just say, bless you, and move on." She said, in the past 2 years, she's given out 50 umbrellas. She said, "People just don't know what to do when I do this. But once they get the umbrella over their heads, they always have a big smile on their face." And I didn't know it. Did you know that March is National Umbrella Month? Well, her idea is something that's made a difference in the lives of 50 people, 50 strangers. She doesn't even know who they are. She just gives the gift. You know, there's that old pass it on attitude. Maybe you'll come up with an idea. Or maybe you have an idea that you can share that has worked for you, just like this one has worked for, you know, Ms. Rochelle. She has found that for her it's just very satisfying. She doesn't feel like anything's being deprived or anything else. She's just doing this for the joy of doing it. It's a good idea, I think. Maybe you're going to come up with one that's special. If so, send me an email. Let me know. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And I'll be happy to share it with my listening audience. How do you believe about the power of intuition? Well, hey, if you'd like to interact with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little insight. Call me at 877-876-5227 or worldwide 888-815-9756. There are so many people that feel, and fortunately today we're more vocal about it, but they feel like intuition is a very significant part of life and it's worthy of developing. Well, my goodness, I couldn't agree more because I just think that it's so normal and natural. It's just marvelous that we're able to talk about it because when I first got involved in the study of mind, it was big taboo. You didn't do this. In fact, if you talk to anybody about intuition or a psychic experience, usually the hair would stand up on the top of their heads, their eyes would get as big as saucers, and all you'd see is the white of their eyes because the dark part of their eyes sort of went down to a pinpoint, and they just would sort of scurry away like, ooh, we just don't talk about these things. Well, again, today we're very fortunate because we're open about this. There's all kinds of research and information that's saying this is a wonderful resource, develop it. Well, there is a Lynn Robinson. She said she had found six different points that were very important, and I know you've heard me share these on the air, but I think it's always good to have good reinforcement. She said, trust your first impression. And at Oregon State University, they did a study, and the volunteers that participated in that study were asked to rate strangers' personalities based on just a 10-second videotape. Now stop and think about that. 10 seconds. Do you know what they found out? People's perceptions were amazingly accurate. Just 10 seconds. Now you'll hear people say, 30 seconds is all it takes for you to make an appraisal of someone. It's less than that. Try 10. And it seems like we have an awareness that's encoded within us where our subconscious picks up what seemingly are invisible clues about an individual. And it doesn't take us long to figure someone out, whether we're comfortable with them or not comfortable with them. Haven't you met someone where instantaneously you went, ooh, I think I need a bath after being with that person. Yuck. I have. It's amazing. And then some people you may say, well, maybe I need a little bit more time to figure it out. But you can't shake it. There's just a feeling about them. You just don't know what it is. And you find later on, maybe they're going through some real ugly times. Maybe they got some personal problems. Maybe they just aren't such a nice individual. Also, she said, listen to your body because your body gives you information. Why? Because it is your nervous system that's sending the transmissions of impressions. She said the neurotransmitters are responsible for our emotions are found in the heart and the gut as well as the brain. So, again, the old adage, listen to your gut. How many times have you heard that? Oh, I've heard it so many times, I can't even count the amount of times I heard it. Listen to the gut instinct. And you have to pay attention to how it speaks to you, whether it's fear, whether it is, you know, something that just says, this is good, a sort, you know, a surge of adrenaline. Also, brainstorming. You know, they found at NASA and at Google, when they have brainstorming sessions with people, and people write down within, let's say, a limited time, 10 or 15 minutes, they don't talk for hours, it's 10 or 15 minutes, write down all their ideas, they find that there are solutions that come up that maybe they wouldn't otherwise have thought of. And it's that focus of time and the brainstorming. It works. It's amazing how you can do that even with other individuals verbally, not just writing it down. But if somebody has a whiteboard and you just put down the concepts one right after the other, boom, 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 no judgment. Just put it down. It's amazing what can happen. Also, don't be afraid to sleep on a concept. You've heard the adage, sleep on it. If you've got a problem, go to sleep on it. If you don't have an answer in front of you, and you'll have the answer. There's a lot of people that have trained themselves to do that. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Jill Grimes, Dr. Jill Grimes. We're going to be talking about seductive delusions. Now, this is about sexually transmitted diseases. This is something that I think is, and this is a pun intended, kept under the sheets, so to speak. And it shouldn't be. It should be brought out into the open so that we have the correct information. And if you have young people in your home that are coming into puberty or they're of an age where maybe they're going to experiment sexually, this is something that is a must read. And for a lot of adults, it's a must read because there's a lot of subjects that are discussed that maybe you've never really had an open discussion about. So we're going to be talking with Jill tomorrow. And then we have got a fabulous lineup of guests that are coming up in March. And here on BBS, all you need to do is go into the directory of the shows and you'll be finding out about who's coming on. We're going to be having next week the Back in Time Tara book. We're going to be talking with Janet Boyer about that. And then Adirondack Green. This is about wind power. Now, this is a book that is in a fiction format, but there is a lot of factual information that is in it. And the man, John Slade, who is the author, has been deeply involved with Denmark and working with their wind power and bringing it here to the United States. Then we're going to be talking with Ellen Valadares. This is a lovely woman that has put together a story called Jonathan's Journey to Mount Niapu. And it has to do with Hawaiian culture. And she's incorporated this wonderful children's book into a format that even adults enjoy. And it is something that's just delightful. Then we're going to be talking about two movies that have been produced by a woman named Sharon Rose, about 2012 and 2013. Yes, 2012, there's a lot of stuff being talked about. We've had some authors on it and all kinds of predictions being made. But also, 2013, what happens after 2012? Go to 2013. Well, we're going to find out about that. And then, Dr. Arlene R. Burrow is going to be our guest, Win Without Competing. Very powerful positioning and something that just about anybody can benefit from. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Another point of intuition is to do what you feel compelled to do. There's many times that we'll have those situations where, I don't know, I'm just going to go down this road. You can't explain it. It's just a knowingness that you have that you should do. And when researchers did a survey, they talked to 13,000 business executives. They asked them the secret of their success. 80% credited relying on instinct as the biggest factor. And a whopping 45% of top corporate executives say that they rely more on intuition in running their businesses than on facts and figures. That is a big, big statement. I remember a businessman that I talked with a number of years ago that whenever he would go into a meeting, he said he always trusted his gut. And he had, over the years, just been able to read the conditions. And he would go into a meeting, and if there wasn't that particular feeling, he just figured the deal wasn't going to make it. If he got this particular feeling, he knew there was going to be closure. And this one meeting he had been in, there wasn't closure at that meeting, but on his way back to his office, he was on a freeway, he got a call, and someone said, "We want to close this deal." And the guy said, "You got it." He said it was just a feel. He could no more explain it than a man on the moon. And he was able to get his contract. Also, daydreaming success. Albert Einstein, it said, came up with his theory of relativity while he was daydreaming. He actually went through a very unique experience that was all his own. And many times when you just relax and you put the problem that you're working with or whatever it is that you want to put in front of your mind, and just sort of leaving it open to be receptive to inspiration, creativity, and an impulse of insight, by golly, you're going to have it, and it will happen. But the thing is, you let it go. You don't try to force it or make it happen. Intuition is a resource. It's a wonderful one if you can use it. And it's something that will serve you well once you learn the language of your own intuitive processes. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Don't forget, we're going to be back here same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And yes, your road that you're traveling on may have a few bumps and potholes, but you'll reach that dream, that objective that you have. Just persist. Perseverance is an asset. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.